Good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church and special day for a baptism. A few announcements. Deacon meeting after church. And hopefully they can get started quickly because some of the deacons have to be somewhere. And signs in back for help for Thanksgiving meal, November 23rd. That's a community service we have for our church. Anyone can sign up to help or to eat or do both. And hopefully other people can come. And then there's something here about downloading our services. Need some help with that to the web and to our site. Also, there's a phone that has been put up here. The face is cracked, but it's a Verizon LG phone, if that happens to belong to anyone. You can claim it. Five-minute nominating committee today after church in the library, just through these doors. I hope the ones that are here can make that meeting today. Several announcements in the bulletin. I'll go over some of these very quickly. Women's Association holding their luncheon this Thursday, October 18th from 11:30. They're having stuffed chicken breast. You can buy meals to eat in or take out to let some in the community know, or you can come down and help with serving. I will not be at this one. I'll be at Presbytery at Beulah United Presbyterian Church at 1 o'clock, so I will miss this luncheon. Also, we're making announcements from here, and there are cards and pens, 5x7 cards on the table in the back. Try to speed up the service a little bit, and so that people can hear the announcements, because a lot of people have hearing problems, and when just making them this way, a lot of people don't hear those announcements. Stewardship luncheon on October the 21st. You've been sent out. I hope everyone got. If you did not, you can ask for it. Estimate of giving card. And so we're having a Heavenly Custom Cuisine is giving us a free meal as part of their rental agreement here at our church once a year. So you can come and eat free. Don't have to bring anything. Don't have to do anything. Just come, be served, eat, fellowship, and then go home. And even if you did not fill out a card, this is for everyone. So please feel free to come out for this meal. The Flea Teak will be held Saturday, October the 20th. We need donations. You can bring those down to the church. You can talk to Clara, you can wave your hand back here, or Anna, at the very back under the stained glass windows. Our church family pictorial directory, we're doing that, so you need to sign up if you've not done so. Please do so. So we thank everyone. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of prayer this morning is 319. We bless the name of Christ the Lord. Thank you. That'll worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing for our salvation. We worship you for giving us the abundant life here on earth. We are grateful for the sacraments of communion and baptism. Forgive us when we take our lives for granted. Forgive us when we take our relationship with you for granted. Teach us how to be real disciples. Give us a desire to follow Jesus with a new sense of spirituality. Remind us that we are your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
With a real sense of purpose and love and unity, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day
let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, ask.
Thank you.
responsive reading in the back of the red hymnals on 688, the Christian's Baptism. 688, the Christian's Baptism. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas.
The emperor brought them out.
They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household."
Then they said the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house.
At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized.
The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God.
Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
We were therefore buried with him, baptized into his death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live with him.
In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ.
Having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, raised him from the dead.
Due to the baptism this morning, I'm going to ask you to, if you have any prayer requests, to give them to me. You can write them down and hand them to me after the service. And if I need to, I'll pass them down the prayer chain by email. And we've got several on our bulletin. Diane Crowell will be going in on the 15th for the lung biopsy. BJ will be going in Morrison this Friday for her MRI and blood tests. And William Reese has been in the hospital. And so let's keep all these other persons in our prayer that we've been praying for, and the Valley Newsletter. There are many persons. Let's also keep our church in prayer as we get ready to nominate new officers and soon have our congregational meeting and different things that we're trying to do here at Glenshaw Valley. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This truly is the day that you have made, but sometimes it is hard to rejoice within it. We get caught up in the ups and downs of life, the hardships, aggravations, contentiousness of life at times, sickness, financial troubles, relationship troubles. But Lord, remind us that you are there with us every day, every step of the way. You've promised to never leave us and never forsake us. So we lift all these names before you this day, that you will remember them, that you will touch them in a very special and unique way, a way that only you can. But we ask that you give us a reminder that what we can do to help others with a kind word, or maybe even financial help, or ride, or sending a card, or calling on the telephone. Whatever we can do to lift their spirits, to help them, that we would do as Christian brothers and sisters. We pray for this baptism this morning, that people will think about their baptism, whether they remember it or not, its meaning and the effect that it has or should have upon their life and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your blessings upon Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Many small churches go through struggles, whether it be financial or in numbers, and we ask that you guide us and lead us, that we do not what is our will, which is so hard to put out of the way, but to find your true will for us, that we might move forward in power and glory, but not for ourselves, but for you, that we can touch people's lives and they can find Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and find a sense of peace and the abundant life and the promise of life eternal. Help us to do that. We need you, Lord, in our lives as individuals, in our family lives, and in our life, in our places of work, in retirement, and we need you in our church very, very much. We thank you for all the good examples that you gave us when you walked upon this earth, and we thank you so much for this beautiful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is, I don't know if we've ever sang it as a congregation before, it's a screen song, Baptized in Water. Was beautiful. Ready to go bye-bye. Just a little while. Let's bow forward of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, your kindness, the gifts that come from above, for the monies you give us, for the families, for friends, for fellowship, for this beautiful church building and this property, for everything that you've done for us in our lives. Give us the chance to give back to you. Open up our hearts and let us know what you desire of us. Lord, guide us, help us, point us to the cross, remind us of the sacrifice that you have made for us, and help us to be willing to make sacrifices for you, for your kingdom, and remind us that we will be in eternity with you. That means forever and ever, something that is hard for us to even grasp or comprehend. Bless these people this day, Lord, and for their lives. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. How are you today? As I told the people that joined together in the back of the room for Bible study this morning, today's scripture is very disturbing to me, or at least it was when I first read it. It says that we should go and sell everything we have, give it to the poor, and then we can follow God. It also says that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into heaven. Well, I don't consider myself rich, but I haven't sold everything to give to the poor. So what does this really mean? As you look further into it, you understand what God is trying to say to you. He says, get rid of everything that is keeping you from me. If you are worshiping money, get rid of it. Because the only thing that's important in the end when you die is your relationship with God the Father. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Mark 10, 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You should not defraud. And you should honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, home, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Always do such a wonderful job, and we do appreciate it. Kind of a strange name for a title, and to be out on the board, I was trying to create a little bit of controversy and maybe get people talking. Sometimes that can be a good thing. But this being Baptism Sunday, and we're also in our financial campaign, I was trying to combine two things this morning. And we're in the midst of Halloween. The stores are decorating. Every time I go in, I'm confronted with all the candy and all the chocolate that you see. Luckily, I don't eat chocolate, so it doesn't affect me too much. But I'm sure some of you, when you walk by, you're grabbing and wanting it. Well, the front of the local stores have been crammed full of candy for the past few weeks. And Halloween's trick-or-treat might not be until the end of this month, but candy makers want us to stock up and stockpile. And as a kid, it was such a rush to come home after making the rounds of the trick-or-treat neighborhoods and ceremoniously dump out all that candy crammed into the paper bag, usually on the bed. Every piece would be inspected and looked at and drooled over. Perhaps some cautious trades made with brothers and sisters. Then each of us got our own bowl to keep our cavity central, separate from everyone else. Halloween candy is consumed according to two very different philosophies. See, people can be very different. There are the hogs, and then there are the hoarders. You know what I'm talking about. The hogs dive right into that bowl. They can't wait to get through it. Scarf down their favorites the first night. Then they get up the next day and they finish off what is left. Eat until queasy. Make themselves sick. The hoarders not only stretch out the lifespan of the goodies, maybe all the way until Thanksgiving, they allow themselves only one or two pieces of candy at a time per day, mixing in the less desired goodies to fill out the rationing, one that they really like and one that they don't like so much. There are obvious problems with both of these strategies. The hogs either get horrible stomach aches or suffer out-of-control sugar rushes that lead them to harass their little sisters, drive the dog crazy, and get grounded by frustrated parents. The hoarder lords over their siblings with, "I still have candy." But eventually they end up with some stale, rock-hard, break-your-teeth candy that they don't even want to eat, but they would never admit it because they've still got it. For both kids and adults, it's hard to know how to deal with wealth and all the stuff that we've accumulated that others may not have. No matter how big or small your bowl of candy, you've got to decide how you're going to deal with it and how you're going to dispense it. In today's gospel, Jesus' directive to the rich young man is both dramatic and it is daunting. Sell it. Sell it all. Oh, that scares us all. Give the money to the poor. Why give to the poor? They don't deserve it. They didn't work for it. I worked for mine, or I inherited it. I got it some kind of way. I won it in the lottery. Why should I give it away? Follow me. Maybe that's the hardest of all, to actually follow Jesus. One thing to accept him, say, "Yeah, you're my Savior," but to follow you? I don't want to go over there. Is there any of us who wouldn't have such a problem following through on such a dramatic commandment? But note this, Jesus doesn't give a timeline to this man. Let's look at it from a little different perspective this morning. I've preached on it so many times. You've heard so many sermons on this. Jesus just tells the truth, and the truth is, we cannot take it with us. I don't care what you accumulate, you cannot take it with you when you leave this earth. In fact, Jesus gives us a vivid image of the fact that we cannot take it with us. He said, it is likely to find a rich man in the kingdom of God. It is to find a lumpy, grumpy, old camel through the eye of a needle. If you've ever been around a camel, those are really hateful animals. Spit on you, do bite you, do whatever they can. They're not nice. In other words, forget about it. We all have to give it away. All of us. No one can take one red cent with them. The only question is, when will we give it away and to whom will we give it? And how can we accomplish that inevitable end of life giving away what we've accumulated? Whether it's our homes, our cars, our bank accounts, our jewelry, whatever it is that we have, what do we do with it? Do we die with a will? Do we die without a will? Do we leave it to the government? Do we leave it all to our family? Maybe to a family member we don't even know? Or do we include our church, the kingdom of God, in our wills? Some people in the past in this church have done that. One of the reasons this church is still here and functioning today, because people included us in their giving at the end of their life. Welsh poet David Weiss succinctly summed up that decision when he wrote, I don't want to have written on my tombstone when people finally struggle through the weeds, pull back the moss, and read the inscription, he made his car payments. We need to dream bigger. Be a disciple. To be a disciple means that you don't just pay the bills, you pay it upward. Notice I didn't say pay it forward. There's a lot of talk about that. That's a good thing too. But we need to be thinking about pay it upward to God, because it all comes down from God. So when we're given, we're giving it upward. We're giving to God. To be a disciple is to be a trustee. We talk about trustees a lot. We've talked about trustees a lot in this past year as we combined our boards. Trustees own nothing. Nothing. Yet trustees are legally accountable for every dime they spend. Every church has a legal entity known as trustees. They go by other names in some places, but legally every 501c, every church, every estate has to have a trustee, a legal entity that is lawfully responsible for how that institution is run and how that estate is being disposed of. At GVPC, our church, the session is the trustees. The job of the trustee is to oversee an institution or an estate and to make decisions that fulfill the intent of the one who set up the trust. Sound legalese and boring, but it's not. Because I want to look at it a little different way for a minute, because everyone who has accepted Christ is a trustee. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are the trustee for the kingdom of God here upon this earth. That is the institution or estate with which you have been entrusted. You own nothing. I own nothing. Most of us, what we think we own, we really owe always. Our primary responsibility as a trustee is to introduce others to Jesus Christ, to make disciples for Jesus, to receive the gift of the kingdom, and to take care of God's kingdom, God's estate. We are trustees of God's estate. Making your relationship with Jesus the first and foremost commitment in your life is the prospectus and offer to prospective disciples to bring others into the kingdom of God. Giving of yourself and all that you have, all that you are, is the investment that you make in the next generation of disciples, so the kingdom of God will keep perpetuating itself. And so, God willing, this church, Glenshaw Valley, will keep going on. If you can see yourself as a trustee, then you acknowledge that you are merely the momentary caretakers of God's goods, entrusted with some stuff for the span of your lifetime. And one day you will be held accountable before God and how you invested and cared for what was God's all along. Did what you do advance the kingdom of God? Or did you use God's gifts to build up your own kingdom in your house or even within the church? The Native Americans couldn't understand the Europeans' urge to own land. That was a foreign concept to them. They knew that the time would come when they would die and go, and the land would remain. And that's exactly what happens. The world and all that it has to offer us is God's estate, God's trust, and we are to caretake, to trustee God's creation, and to invest in God's creatures. We are trustees not so much of bank accounts or land grants or mineral rights. We are trustees, more importantly, of relationships we have been freely given by Jesus Christ. To be in relationship with Him, to be in relationship with one another, and even to be in relationship with ourselves, to know who we are and what God desires of us, and also to be in relationship even with all of God's creation. The Pacific Northwest Native Americans had a big party, what they call a potlatch. It was a reverse birthday party. You know, our birthday parties, we give someone a gift or send a card or something. But for them, the intention of potlatch was the host to give away as much as possible. The most gifted, the richest among them, would give the most away. Not try to hold on to what they had, but to share what they had with others. Jesus' disciples should be a potlatch posse, if you want to think of it that way, in some modern terms. We are a tribe dedicated to giving it all away in order to usher others into the kingdom of God and to fulfill our responsibility as God's trustees. For a while, the number one hashtag on Twitter has, and some of you will know this, I've never done Twitter, but I read about it, is YOLO, Y-O-L-O. An acronym for You Only Live Once. The phrase was made popular by singer Drake, who used YOLO in his song The Motto, but is now used in a couple of different ways. For some, it is a new version of Carpe Diem, which is Latin for seize the day or seize the moment. When someone reaches out to seize the moment, they say or text or tweet, YOLO. For others, it's an invitation to take risk or do something that you normally wouldn't do. For example, someone tweeted, couldn't find deodorant, so used Free Breeze. YOLO. For still others, it's an excuse to do something really stupid enough to get you in trouble or get you killed. 22-year-old rapper named Irvin McInnes just signed a record deal last month, September 2012. Left that, went out and got drunk with four of his buddies. Instead of using a dedicated driver, using common sense, got drunk, Last tweet the rapper would ever send said, driving drunk, YOLO, you only live once. A minute later, he and his four friends crashed into a wall at 120 miles per hour. Dead. All of them. The story of the rich young ruler might carry with it the hashtag YOLO, you only live once. Jesus is saying YOLO. So hashtag L4G. Live for God. Invest your life, invest everything you have, everything that you are, everything that you can be in the kingdom of God. That's where you find God's righteousness. That's where you find the true wealth. Give the kingdom all you are and everything you have, and all these things will be added unto you. In a YOLO culture, L4G, live for God, not for yourself. So I ask you this morning, who will commit to living for God this morning? Who will agree to give everything they are and invest everything they have in the kingdom of God? Who can hear the Savior calling? Who is ready to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ? Not someone that just shows up for church now and again. I ask you this morning to pray about your estimate of giving for next year. Your financial commitment, that's just a part of it. And I ask you to pray about when you do your wills. I'm not saying take away from your family, but I'm asking you to think about including your church in your will. May God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize them who is called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to his kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life. Come forward. Thank you for being here this morning, and I've met with you and we've gone over these questions. I'm going to ask you again in front of everyone and the godparents are here. Will you tell me your names again? Matt
Kristen.
And Kristen, thank you for being a part of the service. In presenting Elizabeth Marie for baptism, you renounce your faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want her to study him, know him and love him, and serve him as his chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Do you trust in him?
I do.
Do you intend to show Elizabeth Marie to be his disciple, to obey his word, and show his love?
Yeah.
Will you continue to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be?
I will.
Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of Glenshaw Valley, promise to tell Elizabeth Marie the good news of the gospel, to help her know that all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen her family ties with the household of God?
Thank you. I'll give you guys the first look. She's almost as cute as me, isn't she? Oh, yeah. She looked at me when I said that one. Oh, I won't. I'm used to holding puppies. A new life. It could be a new life in Jesus Christ also. Yeah. It's beautiful. Looking at me. Look at that. Yeah, they usually do when they get older.
Her name is just Rita. Mine is
They usually are. I know, you know what's coming. Elizabeth Marie Cripps, Child of the Covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I know, I'm sorry. Seated on the front row, and I'll have you stand back up. Our closing response, when we all get to heaven, 542 verses 1 and 4. We sing. I've invited them to stand back up the front and face you, and you can come welcome them and get a close look. And I meant to announce just a little statistics. Was born 8'14", 7 pounds 9 ounces, and 20 inches long. So just 8'18". Okay, I wrote it down wrong. Sorry, 8'18". Thank you. I hope it's right on that. As you prepare to lead the sanctuary today, I hope you go thinking about baptism and its meaning. Hope you go thinking about being a disciple and being spiritual in your life and gathering other disciples into the Church of Jesus Christ, and about your giving, but not just of money, of who you are as a person to your church, to your community, to your family, to your places of employment, showing what it is to the world to be a Christian and to live that life. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are places for...